As they say, I'll just remind you once again, listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 6. The lady squirrel bellowed, her fur so bright and white-hot that the blades of grass in the meadow pulled up their dainty green skirts and tiptoed to a safer distance. "My lady?" The Lord Kitfox's grin sparkled like all the stars in the summer sky. "But was it not you who declared that I conducted my affairs in too secretive a manner? I'm merely trying to share with you the few simple tasks that I..."
"Few simple tasks?"
The lady flashed a claw sharp as a lightning bolt at the lord.
"When you asked me to help you kiss the summer corn, you didn't say that you meant every blessed kernel. When you asked me to help you open the eyes of the sunflowers, you didn't say that every seed was an eye. I've worn my lungs thin helping you regulate the breeze down to the last dust particle. I've burned my nose helping you spread the sunlight so each square inch of earth gets its proper share. And I've blistered every pad on my paws, tromping up over hills and down into valleys, helping you patrol the summertime so that nothing would go wrong with it."
She threw her paws open, her reach as wide as the tallest oak in the forest.
"What could there possibly be left to do?"
"Just one more little thing."
The Lord Kitfox pressed his paws together.
"Could you help me change a rat from a squirrel into a mouse?"
From Just One More Little Thing, anonymous, first published in the collection Cyclical Myths for Our Times, Beaverpool Press, 1729.
"Retire!"
Kylie's voice made Rat start back, only a quick catch, saving Grandpa's cologne bottle from smashing against the bathroom counter.
"We haven't got all night."
"All right, all right."
He set the bottle down, took a deep breath, and pulled the door open. Her scarf in perfect order, Kylie smiled up at him, the hall light catching her glasses.
"Don't you smell spicy?"
"Knock it off."
He jammed his hat down over his unruly forelocks, winced at the thick rat stink still too detectable beneath the cologne.
"Like this isn't going to be bad enough."
"Bad?"
She blinked.
"Retire, it's our cotillion. It's supposed to be fun."
She put a paw on his arm.
"Corin won't start anything tonight. Even she's not that much of a..."
"I can handle Corin."
He'd developed three rules for the Corin game over the past few years. Keep his smile broad, his remarks light, and his back away from her at all times.
"But I mean, this is it. Cotillion. We'll be in high school next year. We'll have to pick our community service jobs, start thinking about apprenticeships, get our..."
Claws jabbed him lightly.
"You worry too much, you know."
Her standard answer. He blew out a breath. His growth spurts again this past year, struggling in school, trying to figure out and memorize the rules for the increasingly complicated social events he was expected to participate in. Aunt Malene's voice down the hall.
"Let's go, kids."
Followed by Uncle Bors saying,
"Unless anyone doesn't want to go to cotillion."
Rat tugged his bow tie straight.
"We got a choice? Quiet, you."
Kylie padded toward the front room, and with a sigh, Rat followed, crouching down, as he now had to do to get through nearly every doorway in the mouse part of town. Kylie waded smiling into the mass of her cousins, their excitement buzzing at Rat's whiskers, but Rat slid along the wall, not really wanting anyone to notice him. Cam came over, though, and tipped his hat.
"Glad to see you, cousin. I was afraid the masked mouse's duties might keep him from attending this evening's festivities."
Pulling on his retio face, Rat waved a paw.
"When there's a party, crime can wait."
Then Aunt Malene clapped from where she stood with Uncle Bors in front of the fireplace, and the hum of conversation dropped.
"Your Uncle Bors and I are honored to be your chaperones," she said. "But remember, this is your night. We're just here to help you celebrate."
"Well, that's right."
Smiling, Uncle Bors shook a claw at Kylie.
"I'll be keeping an eye on you especially, daughter. You and Toifo helped plan this thing, so if anything goes wrong, well, I think we'll know who to blame, won't we?"
Nervous laughter from everyone, Kylie grinning at Toifo, but Rat was sure he saw more than one pair of eyes dart toward him before jumping away. Aunt Malene clapped her paws again.
"So, let's be off to the lodge."
She started for the parlor door, Uncle Bors right beside her. The room emptied quickly, Rat sticking with Cam at the back of the group and following them out into the early winter evening, everyone's breath visible as they chatted. Right, small talk. He turned to Cam.
"So, cousin, I suppose your dance card's already filled?"
"Me?"
Cam gave a little laugh.
"If I can get up the nerve to ask Alryn Adler to dance, I won't care if I don't move at all the rest of the evening."
"Alryn? A little short, isn't she?"
Cam gave him a sideways look.
"Says the voice from on high."
He shook his head.
"I'm telling you, Retio, you're crazy if you don't try out for tunnel ball next spring."
His Retio face almost fell. He hadn't even told Kylie about Superintendent Spinner pulling him aside 2 weeks ago to let him know that he wouldn't be allowed to participate in any high school sports due to concerns from some parents about his size. But he managed to keep his smile in place.
"Well, my first duty is as a masked Avenger of the Night, you know."
"Oh, yes."
Cam snickered.
"Of course."
A flash of fur and Kylie appeared at Cam's other side, her eyes as bright, Rat was sure, as the half-moon overhead.
"And how are the Nibbler Clan's two most eligible bachelors?"
Rat struggled not to frown, as if anyone would even want to dance with him. But Cam sniffed and said,
"We have no statement to make at this time, but let me assure our public that we will indeed be in top form tonight."
Kylie nodded, scribbling a claw over her left palm like she was a reporter for the Fluxion. She turned her grin up to Rat.
"And to what do you ascribe your continuing success?"
This game, he knew. Narrowing his eyes, he dropped his voice down into his impersonation of the Spinner.
"Late nights, bad luck, and worse liquor, and you may quote me."
Laughing, they came around the corner at Aunt Malene's store, torches ahead, lighting the entrance to the Mouse Lodge courtyard. Just going in were a group of Adlers, Rat could tell from their red hats, and Kylie called and waved to them. They turned, and the groups merged, paws getting shaken and waists getting hugged. Rat started to follow them into the courtyard, but he felt Cam tense up beside him, his cousin's eyes darting to Alryn at the back of the Adler group. Rat leaned down.
"Would you like an introduction?"
"What?"
Cam started back.
You know Alryn?"
"The masked mouse knows all."
Rat hunched his shoulders. Cam's mouth went sideways, his nervousness ascent now against Rat's whiskers.
"This isn't a joke, Retio."
Something that wasn't a joke to Cam? Rat didn't know how to answer as Retio, so he let the mask down.
"Look, I help Mr. Adler at school sometimes, right? And Alryn brings him his lunch."
He put a paw on Cam's shoulder.
"Come on!"
When Cam still didn't move, Rat pushed him to where Alryn was just stepping into the courtyard and called out,
"Alryn!"
He tipped his hat to her.
"Great to see you!"
The little mouse turned, her eyes wide and smile wide.
"Oh, Retio, isn't it exciting? Our actual cotillion!"
"Yeah, never thought I'd live to see it."
Cam was trying to inch behind him, so Rat picked him up and deposited him on the flagstones in front of Alryn.
"Have you met my cousin Cam? Alryn, this is Cam Nibbler."
Her smile suddenly shy, Alryn looked at the ground.
"I know,"
she murmured.
I've seen him at school."
Cam's ears flushed so pink, Rat was sure he could feel heat from them.
"You have?"
Cam fiddled with his tie.
I mean, I've seen you too.
Alren's eyes came back up.
Really?
Rat clapped his paws.
Well, I can see you two have a lot to discuss.
Turning, he padded through the gate. So much for hanging out with Cam tonight. Braziers around the courtyard made a welcome warmth, and the torches gave the whole place a deep orange glow, different than Rat had ever seen here. The fountain was even turned off, a bonfire crackling in its stone basin, shadows flickering over the last group of mice entering the lodge, and over a darker shadow looming toward him. His fur spiked up, but then he saw it was just Blaze.
"Welcome,"
the fisher intoned, strange and deep like a tolling bell,
"to the class of 1723's cotillion."
She blinked then, and her mouth went sideways, her voice tightening to normal.
"Oh, it's you, Tiny. I thought you went in with the nibblers and addlers."
Rat had to grin.
"Not very observant, are you?"
"Oh."
Her ears twitched.
"And who was it so unobservant 3 nights ago out on the East Bridge that he let someone sneak up and push him into the channel?"
She stroked a claw through her whiskers.
"That puts me one up on you."
"Really?"
He pursed his lips.
"'Cause yesterday, when you were perched in the big oak tree at the west edge of Ree's Meadow, you felt a sting along your left flank. You turned to investigate, and managed with your usual grace and skill to tumble out of the tree and into a pit of mud that one might almost think had been dug there for that very purpose."
"You did that?"
Her eyes narrowed.
"So we're even,
as always. But what are you doing here, Lazy? They gonna make you an honorary mouse, too?"
She sighed.
"Ma's here to give the invocation, so I've got to do all the shaman in training stuff."
She waved a paw at the door.
"They're almost ready to start, actually."
He nodded, looked over his shoulder at Cam and Alren.
"You might want to give those two a push."
One big claw tapped his hat.
"Leave it to me."
She stalked toward the two mice, and Rat padded inside. Instead of the usual colored lanterns, tiny torches lit the foyer, and in the lodge itself, fire pits among the tables provided the only light, the walls done up to look like trees. Like a clearing in the forest, he realized. A summer party in the woods, here at the beginning of winter. He couldn't help smiling, started to look around for Kylie, but found Corin's spinner instead.
"Oh, ick,"
she said, touching her snout with one end of her ascot, the mice around her all in spinner purple, chowder silver, and courier gold.
"Smells like the sewer's backed up."
Padding past, he tipped his hat.
"A scent with which I'm sure you're intimately familiar."
She gave a sniff.
"Too familiar lately."
"Well,"
he grinned,
"if you keep inviting Paul over..."
"Hey!"
came Paul's voice, but by then Rat had spotted some nibbler yellow and was moving toward it, Adler red, Pressner green, and Weber brown mixing through that part of the room. He didn't see Kylie, but spreading his whiskers, he picked up her scent from a group of mice across the dance floor at the foot of the stage, the planning committee and the chaperones, it looked like, along with the much larger form of Fisher. He started toward them, but then Fisher was turning away from the group and jumping up onto the stage. The shaman settled onto her haunches, raised her paws, and the hall fell silent with a suddenness that made Rat's fur stand up. For a moment, the only sound was the crackling of the fire pits around the room. Then Fisher spoke, her voice quiet but carrying.
"Curial lords and ladies above, you guard our world and hold our lives. You light our way and keep us safe. Tonight, these children ask to pass beyond the watchfires of their youth, to grow in wisdom, seek the truth, experience their lives anew. Make them mindful, lords and ladies. Let your hearts beat on within them. Choose them, nourish them, gaze upon them, guide their steps and spirits true."
The words came in a steady rhythm, tickling Rat, but something else. He turned, an itch between his shoulders, pressure there like eyes were on him. The mice stood bowed around him, though, with folded paws and eyes downcast. But still, the feeling stroked his fur, made him sure that someone somewhere somehow stared, had noticed him, had turned its head and focused down to find him, tall among the mice. He couldn't shake it, couldn't stop a shudder icing down his tail. Fisher's words went droning on, but all Rat heard was rustling from beneath the floor, behind the walls, a sound drawn up by Fisher's voice that touched him,
pushed him, made him tremble, this hidden gaze so sharp it seemed to dig right down and through his fur. A cymbal crashed on the drum set, the Mouse Lodge band suddenly on stage and swinging into a foxtrot. Mice moved past him in pairs out onto the dance floor, the whole place alive and breathing again. Something touched his shoulder. He spun, saw Kylie blinking up at him.
"You okay, Ratayo?"
Whatever he'd felt was completely gone, his fur smooth, his heart not pounding the way it had been a second ago. He swallowed. Nerves, probably.
"Yeah, fine, Kylie. Great decorations, by the way. Your idea, right?"
"Oh, everybody helped."
She crooked a thumb at the dance floor.
"So, we dancing?" "What?"
He stared down at her, his stomach tightening.
"Dancing?"
She cocked her head.
"It's what one generally does at Cotillion, I'm led to understand."
It took him another moment to get his Ratayo face. Then he bowed, held out a paw, found the right smile and the right voice to say,
"Madam, I'd be honored."
"So gracious, gentle sir."
She curtsied, took his paw, and his heart pounding again, he led her out onto the floor. He had practiced all the dances with Kylie in the parlor back home, Grandpa plucking tunes on his old psaltery. But here, now, the band playing, the other mice around him, Kylie's paw on his shoulder, his paw on her waist, he forgot everything. But then Kylie was moving, and he was moving with her, the music warm as sunlight, the tiny steps the most natural thing in the world. Well, yes, he did step on Kylie's paw once or twice, and his own tail a couple dozen times, but
he was dancing with her.
Song followed song, but she didn't take her paw off his shoulder. So he didn't let go of her either, just took her lead as to whether he should be stepping in two or three, whether he should be moving fast or slow, whether he should be keeping a formal distance from her or,
oh, Shadowbane above, holding her warm against him.
After the second of these close dances, his tail in agony, he'd stomped on it so many times, he finally said,
"Can we get some lemonade?"
"What?"
Kylie stepped back, touched a paw to her whiskers, gave a little laugh.
"Oh, yes, of course, I..."
She smiled.
"I've just been looking forward to tonight for so long, I kind of lost track of time."
"I know what you mean."
He offered her his elbow, and she took it with a graceful little curtsy. The drink tables sat out in the side courtyard, more braziers taking the edge off the night, but Rat welcomed the coolness against his fur. A few couples helped themselves to the lemon punch and moved back inside, but Rat felt too good to rush, ladled out two cups slowly, handed one to Kylie.
"Thank you,"
she said, her fur silvery in the half-moon's light and making his ears feel too tight against his head. He looked away, everything so wonderfully strange. He had to raise his cup to Night's Eye, had to say the doxology Nona had taught him so many years ago, to thank the High Ones for letting him be here right now. His pronunciation was awful, of course, but he got it out without biting his tongue too often. When he turned back, Kylie was blinking.
"Ratayo, that was beautiful. What was it?"
Ears hot now as well as tight, he gestured toward the moon.
It's a squirrel thing. A prayer to Night's Eye."
"Night's Eye?"
Kylie raised her head, moonlight flashing on her glasses.
"Is that the squirrel name for the Lady Raven?"
"Who?"
Her brow wrinkled, but then she said,
"Oh, that's right. You didn't get here till after catechism."
She nodded.
"You should go out and see Fisher. She can tell you all about the lords and ladies of the Curia."
"No, that's okay."
After his talk with Grandpa, whenever anyone brought up these curials, Rat would always nod politely and move the conversation somewhere else.
But now, he couldn't stop himself from asking, "But you think Night's Eye's a raven?"
"Well, the Lady Raven's in charge of the night."
Kylie sipped her cup.
"She gathers our prayers up on the moon and delivers them to the other lords and ladies."
"Huh."
The black and silver swirls Nona had always used for Night's Eye's pattern flashed vivid in his memory.
"Well, it's just to the squirrels. I mean, the High Ones aren't folk, not birds or lizards or mice or anything. They're more like..."
He stopped, all Nona's stories in his mind, the eternal dancing duel between Shadowbane and Lightsleeper, the Rattler's silent tread when she came to take the souls of the dead, the adventures of Night's Eye and Cloudleaper. But he realized that he really didn't know that much about the High Ones.
Kylie stroked her whiskers.
It's too bad our comparative culture books don't cover gypsy squirrels. You really should talk to Fisher, though. Or Blaze.
She grinned.
When you're not pushing each other into the river, I mean.
Rat had to laugh at that.
Hey, she started it. I just...
He stopped as his stomach growled. That made Kylie laugh, but then her ears felt...
Weak. I'm supposed to take the middle hostess shift.
She drank down her cup, flicked it all the way across the courtyard smack into a trash bin, took his arm and, stretching up, kissed him quickly.
Thanks for the dances, Ratayo.
Spinning, she vanished the way she did out in the woods, just a rush of air against his whiskers, a flash of fur at the lodge door. Rat smiled, touched his snout, tipped back his head to finish his punch, and found himself looking up at the moon. The Lady Raven, huh? He gave Night's Eye a bow, turned, and went inside.
It's 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. This dance was never meant for rats. The snickers I try to ignore from other couples on the floor. Those mousy brats in their silk scarves and bowler hats. Just 'cause I'm a foundling here, adopted now 10 years ago. I grew up with them, still they jeer. Except for you, you're always near when I feel low, showing me what I need to know. Then you squeeze my shoulder and tell me to relax. It's a dance, not a march off to jail. Your laugh's contagious, I can't help joining in, and we glide, two leaves on the breeze, till I stomp my own tail.
From Cotillion, by the raccoon troubadour Tedroy Hund, first heard at the Kazira Zeef Arts Festival, spring 1730. Rat looked back up the trail.
But Kylie's never late.
Grandpa leaned against one of the oak's thick roots.
There's always a first time.
Another minute crept by, no sound anywhere but the buzz of insects and the swish of the oak in the afternoon breeze, until Rat was ready to leap to his paws, race down the trail, start shouting her name. Maybe she'd fallen, or maybe a branch had dropped out of the canopy onto her, or...
Sorry.
Her voice came then, her wonderful silky scent suddenly behind him. Turning, he watched her pad around one of the scrub bushes that grew in the oak's shadow.
Miss Courier wasn't feeling well, so I had to make sure everything got set up at the lodge for the Schuyler wedding.
Rat snorted.
You should tell her off. I mean, you've only been there a year. Why does she give you so much work?
Well, actually...
Kylie's ears dipped, embarrassment coming into her scent.
Miss Courier was saying she'd like to retire and name me to succeed her as lodge mistress right now, instead of having to wait 3 years for me to graduate.
Really?
Rat clapped his paws.
Kylie, that's great!
Thanks.
A smile pulled her snout,
and when her eyes flashed over to meet his, he could see the excitement, though she was trying to hold it in, he realized. But why would...
I see.
Grandpa's voice, soft but sharp.
Please, Grandpa.
Kylie's ears fell further, all the spark gone from her face.
This is hard enough.
Hard?
Rat blinked.
I mean, it's your dream job, isn't it? What's hard about that?
Neither mouse said anything for a long moment. Then Grandpa tapped the oak's trunk.
It's quite simple, Ratayo. Kylie's giving up our training sessions.
Not giving up,
Kylie said quickly.
I just won't be able to come out on a regular schedule anymore.
Grandpa gave a little snort.
So I'll have to stop by and make appointments from now on?
She dropped her eyes, and Rat couldn't keep his ears from folding, too.
Well, come on, Grandpa. You keep saying Kylie's the best you ever saw. She's not like me. She doesn't have to be out here training all the time.
The old mouse shot him a stern look, but Rat kept going.
And how much more can you even teach her, anyway?
That's not the point.
Grandpa waved a paw at Kylie.
With her whiskers, she could be the greatest leader we've ever had, could unite the clans and make Otter's Gate a real city, a center to rival Beaverpool, a Lightwan, a Kazira Zeef, lead us into the future instead of miring us in the past.
He gouged a chunk of bark from the oak's root.
The lodge is the most provincial, most conservative, most backward-looking outfit in this town, and she's damn well embracing it.
Rat could only stare, but Kylie stepped forward, took the old mouse's paw in hers.
Grandpa, you know me better than that. I mean, you've done wonders on the town council and as Nibbler clan head, but, well, everybody goes to the lodge. I use what you've taught me, open my whiskers, listen to folks, hear what they're really concerned about, and I can help them solve their problems in the place they feel the most comfortable, where they're most likely to be open and willing to listen, at the Mouse Lodge.
She squeezed his paws, a smile pulling her whiskers.
Besides, the only professional huntresses I've ever heard of are the tarantulas who work for the coyote clans in the southern desert.
Her smile faded.
This is where I'll do the most good, Grandpa, and it's what I want to do.
The rustling overhead almost masked Grandpa's sigh.
I just want what's best for you, Kylie.
The knots under the fur of his shoulders unclenched a bit, Rat was glad to see, and he raised his eyes to meet hers, something close to his usual grin under his whiskers.
Well, and with you at the lodge, it might even get to be a place worth going to.
Kylie's smile radiated relief, and Rat poked her.
How about one last track, then? Me and Grandpa after you, huh?
She cocked her head at him.
You sure?
He shrugged.
Yeah, if worse comes to worse, we can just go home and wait for you to show up for supper.
Grandpa laughed, and Kylie poked Rat back.
You're on.
She leaped over the oak's root, and Rat could hear her paws scampering through the leaves. He started after her, but Grandpa's paw on his shoulder stopped him.
A false trail,
he said, his ears and whiskers spread wide. Sniffing, he turned in the other direction.
This way.
Rat grinned and followed him into the woods. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you Part 6 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Your reader has been Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.